and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Bible tells us that we belong to him. But you notice this illustration here in this scripture. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, what's a temple? It's not God. It's a place set aside to honor the Lord. A temple is a holy place, but to honor the one that dwells within. Of course, we know God is not limited by man's hands or physical buildings. But the illustration here, your body is where the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and you ought to therefore glorify God with your body. Because you belong to him, you see. And that's a very important truth. We often talk about not doing some evil things because people would misunderstand our talking about Jesus and doing evil things. I remember Brother Tom Sexton, a friend of mine years ago, and he's a pastor in Florida now. When he first got saved, he was a bricklayer, and he had a habit that he had a hard time getting rid of for a while. It involved these little things about this long, you know, that you had to light up every so often. And he's smoking, you know, and he's witnessing to people at the job. Finally, one day, one of those guys said, "Don't talk to me about that when you got those in your pocket." Boy, that was the final straw. God took him, threw him away, and that was it. But you see, the point wasn't that the cigarettes was the big thing. It was the stumbling block to witness for the Lord, you see. And the Lord used it. He was trying to quit all along, but then when that person said that to him, God used that to help him take that step by faith and said, "I'm going to get rid of this. This is not helping me serve God. This is a detriment to my witness for Christ." And there's all kinds of things like that. Other people have testified how the Lord brought them from bad habits that most of us not involved in, but some of us may have been. And we turn from those not just because we think they're bad for our body, but because it's a whole lot more important they're bad for our witness for Christ. You know, our bodies are going to die. Even if you eat natural food and exercise every day and all that stuff, you're still planning to die because it's appointed unto men once to die. But if you have a witness for Christ, that will last for eternity. And we want to glorify God in our bodies which belong to him. So again, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and we ought to use our body in reference to that. Ephesians 5:18, it reminds us here to have the joy of the Lord, we've got to let the Holy Spirit have control. It says, be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to turn over there to Ephesians 5, verse 18. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So, for one thing, being filled with the Spirit is the right thing to do. It's a mark of wisdom. Don't be foolish. That's what unwise is, isn't it? Don't be ignorant. That's, again, unwise because you're not doing what God has revealed. But understand, God wants us to be right with him. He wants us to have the power of God within us in the Holy Spirit's guiding and directing us in every area of our walk with him. Then it goes on with the next verse, but it means to be controlled by the Spirit for him to guide us and to help us to understand things as they really are. You know, right now we have a whole lot of information being sent across the airwaves to us concerning all the things that are supposedly going on in this world. And some of it's true and some of it isn't. Some of it's propaganda. How do we know the difference? I think you need to ask the Lord. He said, open my eyes that I might see the truth of what's going on. Help me to be aware of and be protected from error, not only in the political realm to which I was referring, but also, and perhaps more importantly, in the spiritual realm. There's a lot of people talk about God and the Holy Spirit and stuff that aren't biblical. And if they go contrary to the Bible, they're not right. And some of them do it willfully, and some of them do it out of ignorance. But we want to do it according to the Word of God, to be filled with the Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that consumes your desires and your goals and your mind. And you say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to please you. And you're not so full of, well, what does somebody else think? Well, what do I want? You know, self and others, they're not as important as God. and our witness to them for God. You see, we're ambassadors for Christ. And he says, he beseeches us then that we would go out and represent him well. The problem I think many Christians in our modern world have is we're so selfish. Well, how do I feel about it? What do I want? How does it fulfill my needs? Oh, you got something that's going to tickle my ears? You know, and that's not the way it ought to be. It ought to be like the apostle when the Lord struck Saul of Tarsus down there and he responded to the Lord on that road to Damascus and he revealed himself, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The next words out of his mouth were, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That ought to be our desire, ought it not? Ask God. And then we're focusing on that and the Holy Spirit will guide us into all those things. And then verse 19, some evidence of being filled with the Spirit. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You've got a new song in your heart to the Lord. Spiritual songs, not just worldly songs. A little old song that we do every now and then, it talks, one of the verses says, are the songs that you were taught in church, those ones you love, or now you're interested in worldly songs? You know, the world has taken this matter of music, and with our modern technology, you can have it on 24/7. But most of what's being broadcast isn't spiritual, is it? It's worldly. It's fleshly. It's even sometimes demonic. And so we want to have spiritual songs, hymns, psalms, all these things to evidence our fellowship with the Lord. You ever think about why would we need to make melody in our heart to the Lord? Does he need it? We need it, don't we? And it pleases him that we would honor him, a sacrifice of praise with our lips and our singing and all those things. And we can have that joy of a new song in our heart with the Lord. And then verse 20, it talks about another thing that's evidence of the filling of the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a thankful heart is evidence that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you and you're listening to him and you're obeying. Because the biggest problem I see amongst people as we face problems is we forget all the good and we just gripe about the problems. We're unthankful, not just because necessarily negative and griping, but we're just forgetful of it and say, well, what about this and what about this? Take a moment to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings I've enjoyed, the amount of health, the ability to do what you've sent me to do, the friends and family that I have. There's so many things for which we ought to thank God. We ought to spend a whole lot more time in thanksgiving than we do. But that's, again, evidence of the being filled with the Holy Spirit. The next one there is in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Those three things are the ones in Scripture that says this way you can know if you are filled with the Spirit. It's not about ecstatic languages. It's not about signs and wonders. It's about your relationship to the Lord. You have a song in your heart to God. You have a thankful attitude. And you have a submissive attitude one to another in the Lord's service. And then another verse here is in 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14 reminds us the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And without him, we don't understand. I always reference these verses and some other verses as well when people talk about, well, it's hard to understand the Bible. You know why? Because you need God. God's the author. You need the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. It says here in verse 12 through 14, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And I'm going to go on to the next two. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So you see, the thing is, we have God the Spirit to dwell within us and to guide our understanding. And he can explain to us what the world cannot explain. because it's spiritually understood. And that verse 14 is the one that I often reference to people when they say, I just don't understand the Bible. I say, well, are you saved? The Bible says the natural man, that means the unsaved person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, no wonder you don't understand it if you're not right with God, if you're not saved. And by the way, if you're a backslidden Christian or living in disobedience before the Lord, you're going to be limited as well, because you need the Holy Spirit to guide us and to bring us into all truth, as he tells us in the Gospel of John. He will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you the things that you need to see. He will remind you of the things that you need to have reminded when you have a time of need. One of the blessed promises the Lord says is there's coming time of persecution, and they're going to bring you before the judges. So don't worry about what to say. In the time you need it, I'll tell you what to say. The Lord God, through the Holy Spirit, will bring those things to remembrance at the time you need them. Look in the book of Acts when you see the story of Stephen as he was persecuted for his stand for Christ, and he stood before those enemies, and he stood up in chapter 7 and gave the history of Israel without notes. It's amazing. You read through all the things, and he points home the truth how Israel over and over rejected God, and the Holy Spirit pricked their hearts. But you see, they didn't receive it. They rebelled and they picked up rocks and killed him. But he had an answer. Why? Because God was working in his heart. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had the power of God. And he will teach us and he will guide us if we'll listen to him and we'll follow him and obey him. But remember, it's trust and obey. If you just bring it in and don't do anything about it, it's like the Dead Sea. Doesn't do any good. But if you bring it in, put it to use, and let it go on out, then the Lord blesses it. And then 9 through 11 in chapter 2, we're joy having the things of God taught to us. We're kind of going backwards in our order, but still it's interesting to see the Spirit giving us the blessings of things that others don't see. Verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that loved him, that love him. Think about that. Some of us are going through troublesome times, but you know, it says you can't even imagine what God's got in store for you, Christian. God has blessings you haven't even thought of, not only in heaven, but even down here. You don't know how he's going to use you. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. There are things the Lord has to reveal to us from his plan for our lives, and he'll make it known to us by his Holy Spirit. But we can't do it in the flesh. We can't do it without him. We've got to be right fellowship with him. I wonder how many times believers have missed out on some blessings from God because they're not doing right in their personal walk with him. Because they're letting a spirit of bitterness cloud their fellowship, causing trouble amongst others. You know, one of the saddest things I've seen in the years of my Christian life is some who say they know Christ and they're ready for heaven, but they're so negative toward others because something or other happened, and they are stumbling blocks to those around. And, you know, I would not want to be standing in the judgment before God and have him say, you know, you're saved, but you know how you talk to so-and-so? Look, you led him astray. You were a stumbling block to their growth. You turned this person away because of your bad attitude. No, you ought to thank God and let him reveal to you the things that he wants us to do. He's got blessings untold, and we don't understand it all, but we'll understand it in heaven. If we listen to him now, we'll understand some of it down here, and the Lord will show it to us. And he'll let us realize, I was working on some songs earlier, and one of them is talking about, he washed my eyes with tears that I might see. It's a beautiful song. The things didn't understand at the time, afterwards, you see, the Lord brings them into perspective and guides us into understanding and blessing. And then in John 14:26, comfort of the Holy Ghost. He gives us comfort. Boy, we need it today in this whole world, don't we? There's trouble on every hand. There's opposition everywhere, but God is above all of it. John chapter 14, number 26, it says, Jesus speaking, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have told you, whatsoever I have said unto you," excuse me. So he's the Comforter. Now, many times they refer to that term in the other language of the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside us, but I like the word that God put here in his Bible, Comforter. Sure, he does make intercession for us and he encourages, but he's there to comfort your heart. Be not troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, that passage that we often quote around times of sorrow and sadness when we're separated from loved ones, he says that we let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because you believe in God, because you're saved, because you have God's promise, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And he can comfort you if you rely upon him. And then verse 27, it gives us peace. He mentions here, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Aren't you thankful it's not the world's peace? World's peace doesn't last very long, does it? In fact, I was thinking about this the other day. Ever since World War I, we haven't had very many years of peace, have we? They had a treaty for almost 20 years, and then World War II came along. And then I just listened to a man talk about the reasons the Korean War was so significant. And that was just a few years after World War II ended. And then there come Vietnam, and now we've got Iraq, and war. It seems like we're at war all the time in this old world. And that's just our nation. Look at all the others. Some of them have been fighting with each other for thousands of years. Where's that all come from? Evil, sinful men's hearts, doesn't it? But we have comfort of God, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. I'm glad that his peace is everlasting and his peace endures forever. We don't have to worry about the world. We can have peace in the midst of it. And that's probably the biggest illustration of the peace of God that passeth all understanding is when a believer can stand in times of trouble, persecution, heartache, and harm, and say, "I'm still trusting God." We looked recently on the Sunday night services in the book of Daniel, and we saw the three Hebrew children, that we call them, thrown into the fire. And when they're challenged by Nebuchadnezzar and his minions, you know, said, "Now he gives them a second chance." You know, he repeats the challenge. When you hear all this music, you go down and bow down and worship the idol, or I'll throw you the fire. And they said, "We're not careful to give you an answer." They weren't worried. They had calmness. Said, "If it's His will, God can deliver us. If not, we don't care. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to worship your image of gold." And boy, Nebuchadnezzar got mad. He said, "I'll heat it up 7 times hotter, tie him up, throw him in." And the guys he used to tie him up, they got killed by the flames. And then old Nebuchadnezzar looks down there in that fiery furnace, and he says, "Didn't we throw in 3 men bound? And I see 4 men loose walking around, and the 4th one looks like the Son of God." You know, God shocked him, didn't he? And then he came out, he said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And then he thought he'd help him out by putting a curse on anybody who says anything against God. Isn't it amazing how people think that God needs our help? I mean, if the Lord can protect his children in the midst of the fire and they don't even have any singed hair or smoke on their clothes, and Nebuchadnezzar's going to proclaim a curse on anybody that talks against him? He hadn't got all of it yet. Of course, we're going to go, God willing, in the days ahead and see some more of how the Lord works in this man's life to bring him around from his paganism to humbling himself before the true God. But those men's peace in the midst of affliction surely had an impact upon him. And that our peace in the midst of trouble will have an impact on others. Chapter 15 and 8 and 9 again continues with the emphasis of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And if you keep my commandments and abide in me," and all these things. He wants to use us, and the Holy Spirit guides us and uses us, and he'll take our words and apply them to those who need to hear them. You know, have you ever had this happen? I have had it, teaching and preaching. People, some, no, pastor or teacher said, now you said thus and so, and the Lord showed me all this, and this. And I'm saying, oh, really? I don't remember saying any of it. But you know what happens? God takes his word and applies it by the Holy Spirit to the hearts of the hearers as he will. Maybe I didn't get all the application as I present the word of God, but God, the Holy Spirit, uses it in your heart and life. That's one of the evidences of him glorifying himself through us. And bearing fruit, the fruit of a Christian, we want to see other Christians. But we also want to see the fruit of the Spirit evidenced in our life. We want to see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those attributes of being a Spirit-filled Christian. We're able to stand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. Turn over to Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Where it references that. I know we're looking at a lot of verses tonight, but I hope this is bringing it together in our mind how the Holy Spirit works in so many different ways in our experience with God. And so we would not minimize his ministry in our life, but we thank God and be obedient. Galatians 5, 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves. Well, that's Ephesians. I knew that didn't sound right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So again, the fruit of the Spirit, as it he works in our life to bring forth the love of God. God's love in our experience. That saves our soul by our response to him. But it also affects our attitude. Jesus says, as I have loved you, that you're to love one another. You're to love your enemies. You're to love the brethren. Boy, that's a lot to ask, isn't it? You know, most people in this old world, we have this cynical attitude. To live above with the saints will be glory, but to live below with the saints we know, that's another story. You know, and that's the problem. We ought to be able to get along with one another because we love the same God. We're seeking the same thing. And that love, and then the joy of the Lord is my strength. The peace, the knowing that everything's going to be all right. I don't have to worry. Long suffering. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on yourself. God is still working. That's what long suffering is talking about. Don't quit too soon. It talks about in another passage here in Galatians. It says that we would reap if we faint not. We don't want to quit too soon. We want to go all the way. Gentleness, goodness, and faith. Boy, that's good. We don't have to be mean to people. Meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Meekness, by the way, does not mean weakness. Moses is said to have been the meekest man on the face of the earth when he was walking and talking. And yet he got angry. And he struck out. And he was not afraid. But by that time, he had learned a little bit that he better listen to the Lord and let the Lord direct him in his use of his anger, because he found out the hard way, trying to do God's work in my strength fails. So he had to wait another 40 years for God to call him and come back down and get the children of Israel out. And by the way, that's just a reminder to us that you can't take the control of events in your own hand. Expect God, all right, here's my plan. God's put your approval on it, stamp it. It doesn't work that way. It's like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And he just gave his offer. He said, I'm willing to go. He said, all right, I want you to go and preach to these people. They're not going to listen to you, and they're going to just ignore what you say. He said, well, how long? He said, until they're all dead. You know, sometimes we get the idea we're supposed to be successful in the eyes and ears of people. Not necessarily. We need to be faithful to the Lord. He tells us it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. So let the joy of the Lord go through all that and continue all the way. And we have this promise because we belong to the Lord. And I read beyond what the verse on the screen says. It says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, what's that mean? That means we've said, look, I'm going to take these things, I'm going to nail them to the cross, as it were. I'm going to say, this is not important anymore. I'm not going to let these things rule my life. And live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. No, be desirous of vainglory. Oh, what a needed warning for us in our modern day of superstardom. You know, people have their 15 minutes of fame, as they say. Don't be provoking one another in a bad way. Hebrews tells us we're to provoke one another to love and to good works. We're not to envy one another. We're to be rejoicing together in the work of God. You know, if we're led of the Spirit and our brothers and sisters in Christ are led of the Spirit, we're walking the same way. We're working for the same Lord. We shouldn't be fighting and being envious of one another. And then in Acts 1:8, you know this. The power of God is referenced here. The Lord Jesus reminds the disciples as they're gathered together. He says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Why? Because they needed him just like we do. We receive the Spirit when we're saved, but has he taken the full place in our heart and guiding us? Are we letting him fill us and guide us into all these things? And then we'll have the power of God in our ministry and our witness. Then Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And he goes on with that great declaration of God's plan in our lives. But you see, the Spirit is involved in our everyday life. Even as we seek to pray to God, he can help us. You know, we pray the best we can. We pray, God, this is what I believe I need. But you know, there's always that caveat that he tells us in James, whereas you ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll go here and do that. You know, and we pray for God to help and guide and direct, but we know in the final analysis, it's his will that's most important. And the Spirit knows how to do that and makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I believe the Spirit's praying for us many times about things that we haven't even paid attention to yet, because he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he's caring for us. You know, you ever think about the fact that he's more interested in our success than even we are? Because we represent God down here in this world. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 12, illustrates the ministry of God the Spirit in the lives of believers as we work together in the church, the body, referenced here in chapter 12, verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts with the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations with the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations with the same God which worketh all in all. And then it goes on to list a whole bunch of the gifts, which I'll not read them all tonight because I don't have time to deal with each of them. But realize every one of these gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned here, he's given each one of us as he will, not as we want necessarily. So much emphasis today of people trying to get one gift or another gift so that they can make an impression on others. No, it's according to God's divine will and plan in our lives. He doesn't call us all to the same thing, but he has a plan for each believer. He has the will of God for our lives. And by the way, that ought to be our desire, isn't it? It talks about in Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that prize? It's the will of God for your life, Christian. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What he wants you to do is a prize. What he wants me to do is my prize. And we ought to press toward that we might fulfill God's plan in our experience down here on earth. And he's going to reward us here and in heaven later. Psalm 51, 7 through 13. Do you have the joy of the Holy Ghost? Let's close with this passage. It's more introverted, I guess you'd say that, more introspective, that's the word I'm trying to say, looking within us in our own experience at our feelings before God. He says, this prayer of David, as he is facing his own self and his failure, he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You see, David says, I want to have that fellowship again. I want to be right with God. That's a beautiful prayer, isn't it? You ought to meditate upon that and ask God to clean us up, wash us, that we might enjoy the blessings he's given. We don't worry about his spirit being taken from us in the New Testament, but you know, we should think about what he says in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The words in Peter always haunt me when it talks about Lot vexed his righteous soul in Sodom. When I read Genesis, I wouldn't have any idea that Lot had any righteousness in him. He looked like he was only interested in self and success. But God knew his heart. And God knows how to deliver his own even out of the midst of evil. And God pulled Lot and those two unmarried daughters out, and the wife turned to a pillar of salt. You remember the story. And pulled them out and rescued them from the judgment that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because God knew what we didn't, that Lot had a righteous soul. But you see, when you don't do what's right, when you don't obey God, when you allow sin and worldly aspirations to control your activities, you lose the joy of your salvation. What a shame. And Lot, I think, regretted those decisions for the rest of his days. But God still cared for him. Don't ever think God's given up on you, Christian. Because as long as you're able to work and make decisions, God's willing to hear you pray and repent and come back to him by faith. As long as we're able to talk for people down here on earth, there's an opportunity for us to redeem the time. Don't give up. And then we go to heaven, we won't have any more time to do those things, but then we'll be with our Lord. We'll be able to praise him forever. Father in heaven, I thank thee, Lord, for these blessings. Holy Spirit, thank you for the revealing some of the multitude of ministries thou dost have amongst us. And I pray that thou wilt continue to work with us. Sometimes it seems like we're so slow of learning. And we're so hard-hearted and selfish. Oh, Holy Spirit, convict our hearts and show us that we might truly repent and turn from our sin unto the Savior and receive that forgiveness and cleansing and that emboldening, that power to go into all the world and to preach the gospel.